Welcome to this Tuesday Live with Linda and Friends. And I want us to begin with a heart hug. For those of you who are new, I'll just remind you, putting one hand just softly over the other on your heart chakra in the center of your chest. And some of you may prefer to put it down lower, just below your navel. And engage like the floor, the basis of this beautiful vagus system we have that includes the heart. And just imagining taking that clock off our imaginary wall and putting that in the center here of our chest or our wonderful belly. Smile and very gently with some part of your hand that maybe you haven't used before to move very gently, push the tissue from 6 in a little arc up to 9, up to 12, 3, 6, 9. Take a very deep breath and think of someone for whom you are very grateful, someone you haven't told recently how much you love them. Just imagine opening your heart with gratitude to this person or an animal, could be. Now, for those of you who have not done this very often, let's try the other direction. For those of you who know your directions, stay in, because it may be to the right in your circle and a quarter, or it may be to the left. So I'm going to now move from 6 in a little arc, gentle arc, pushing very gently the skin up to the 3, mat 12, 9, 6, 3. And send out this feeling of great, deep gratitude for this person or this animal. Now, very gently and slowly in your preferred direction. As you move the tissue, as you just gently push the tissue around the face of our imaginary clock, send this a cascade of hearts. Just imagine gratitude, deep gratitude, into every cell in your body. Just flow, just let it flow over like water, over the waterfall that we did last week. And imagine that sunlight sparkling through this waterfall under which you're standing is gently cascading water over you, pouring down over your whole body, refreshing you with a perfect temperature. And the delight that would be feeling that. And imagine, just curl your toes and uncurl them and imagine feeling, whoa, the breath of Mother Earth coming up into your body as this beautiful waterfall comes over you. And imagine the stability of a rock wall over which this waterfall is cascading. And just reach your arms up and give thanks. So to all of Mother Nature for the beauty she brings us. And as we're standing under this spectacular cascading waterfall, see the sunlight sparkling and lighting up in just these beautiful flashes of light and color, and take that into your body. And listen to the birds, and imagine that you can feel the butterfly wings, the light, the air, the movement from these butterflies and humming bees, and just wonderful beings in the earth. What is it that we don't see? And the messages that are coming from these beautiful trees that are surrounding your waterfall. Pick one tree and just really focus, what does this tree look like? And understand that these messages are going all around out. And as you feel the earth under your feet and move your toes a little bit, move in your chair, just move gently now in this infinity movement, in this gentle, very peaceful figure eight movement involving your shoulders and your pelvis and your body. And very gently just make it. And if you're lying instead of sitting, just imagine you're doing it, and very gently, in the tiniest movement possible, just gently move. And now open your eyes and let us gaze around at all of us here gathered here. Thank you for all of you who have just joined us. Hi, Maggie and Joycey. I was just thinking of you this morning. Thank heaven you're here. Penny and Marnie and Nancy, Tara, Carol, hi. This is such, for me, a delight to be with you all. And Valentina suggested that I share some, I have to skip. We have so many, I have to go down. Hi, Penny and Joy, Brandy, Becky, hi. We have another layer who's just joined in the meantime. Valentina suggested that each time I share some of the simple effects that tea touch can have. Because like right here, if you want to put me, I'm going to put me on speaker view. This is a collection that was gathered and edited by Angela Schroff. And this is from 2005. And these are a collection, on every page, there's more than 200 pages of people who've gone through our companion animal or horse trainings, never having done what we're doing here together. The only tea touch for themselves was the little bit that we do in our companion animal classes. I usually do in a week, maybe, three separate hours. And some of them hadn't had more than this. So I just opened it, and this is, I want to give you an example. And this is promoting healing of a broken nose. And this is Shelley Moore. Tea touch relieves pain and discomfort, reduces swelling, and reduces scarring from a broken nose. The reason that I want to share these with you, this simple 1 1/4 circles that we now know after all these years is a spiral, creates miracles. And when I say miracles, they're unexpected ability for each of us here to relieve pain or fear. And it's taken me from my 30th birthday in 1967, when I first got this message that I would develop a form of communication that would spread around the world. And in order to do so, I would have to learn to trust my intuition. Since that time, I've been following this intuition. And many of you here have already experienced some of these miracles, and I want to share them today. And then what I'm going to ask us to do is I'm going to ask one person if you have something that you would like me to coach you on, and we'll all do it. As many of you know, by following along, we've had people discover things about themselves that they never thought, they never considered before. So Shelley wrote, "This last December, I got another chance to experiment with T-Touch on my husband, Scott. He was binding down a load when the cheater bar sprang off of the binder and hit him in the face. He broke his nose quite badly and had to have numerous stitches on the top of his nose and down the side of his nose. It was so badly broken that he had an eye, ear, nose, throat specialist realign and stitch him up. Since we couldn't touch around the area for several days, I pictured myself doing small raccoon touches all over the area. When I was actually able to touch around the area, I did circles around his eye and near his nose. This is where I really got hooked on the snail's tail backward slide part. That is 1 1/4, stopping at the 3 or the 9, the quarter up, and then a quarter down. The quarter down is the snail's tail. He never actually said if this helped, but he had, but he did heal up with a minimum of scarring, and he definitely went through the bruising process very quickly. The bruises that I thought would take weeks to look normal healed and did not, and did look normal in fewer than. It was really great. There have been other small and minor injuries that require T-Touch on someone too numerous to count. Sorry, I'm having so much trouble reading, but you I have the most interesting psychedelic experiences now, because I was supposed to have cataract surgery a year ago. And I thought I didn't need it because my eyes had already improved so much from the beamer, because I was no longer like, I could drive at night, because that flashing thing that some people get, which I had, was really annoying, but that ended. And so I thought, oh, well, I'm good to go. But I am telling you this because if you're told that you're eligible for cataract surgery, boy, I'm telling you, do it. Actually, Joyce has an amazing story, who's here with us. And so anyway, I didn't do it because of COVID. I would have had to fly to Honolulu to have it done, and I didn't want to do that foolishly. So what's happened now is that my retina on the right eye has a little, it's like a little, I forget what exactly, it's like it's bubbled up a little from blood behind the eye. So I can't have the surgery yet, which means that, you know, things are dim. I kept saying, why does it seem like I'm walking through fog? Everything's like, well, it's not, is it a foggy day? And it's really interesting. Now I've gotten so used to it that it doesn't bother me, but I have to have more light to read. And I just want to encourage you, don't be foolish like I was when I thought, I don't need it, because I know so many people who've had it and it's been incredible. I do want to tell you from experience, because sharing these experiences is, I think it's a safe place to do it. One of our members, and some of you know Gary and Sandy Smith from Wisconsin. Sandy had the cataract surgery, and somehow she chose to have the distance lenses instead of the close up, and thinking, which is what I thought, that you could just get glasses to do the like the close up. She can't see anything with the close up. It's just a fog. And it's really, when I discussed this with another friend who had it, she is also an artist and chose the close up, which is certainly what I'm going to do, because I need to know where I'm stepping. I need to be able to see the computer. The distance, I'm counting on being able to have glasses to do that, because most people can. So I just bring this up because, yeah, it does come to a point for the many, many people that they will have this surgery, and it's rather amazing. And I would just, while we're on the subject, Joyce, would you share your story with you, because you're an absolute miracle.
Thank you. I would love to. It's so nice to see you in person. So thank you. I had corneal problems that I knew had been from Lyme disease, but I was also told I had a genetic disease that no one in my family has. And they said, oh yes, they do. And no one did. And it was called Fuchs dystrophy, but what it did was make the cornea occlude. And so I did the touches for years and was able to drive and to do everything I needed to do. And if I hadn't had the touches, I would have been in big trouble. And I found a wonderful surgeon at the University of Virginia who said, oh, this will be easy. We can just take care of this. So I had two surgeries, and in each surgery, I got a new cornea. I had a corneal transplant and got a new lens, and I have 20/20 vision, and it's incredible. And I use glasses a little bit for reading now, but that's it. And I don't have any restrictions on my driver's license or anything. And I had lost my license before. But the touches I did before surgery and after surgery, and took the circle of everyone with me into surgery, I just laid it around my neck. And it was incredible to know that I had that wonderful support with me. I did it both surgeries. So I am very, very grateful. And the waterfall is still flowing every day for me. But the touches made the difference. And I also would work along the side of my eye and make sure that I could work with the whole eye. And in my left eye, there's a little film in front of the macula that bubbled during my surgery. And the doctor said, well, that happens sometimes. So I'm taking medication to smooth that out. And if we can't get it totally smooth, then we'll just snip it off. But it's it doesn't disturb my ability to drive or to function. So I'm so blessed. And the miracle of having the touches kept me whole for a long time and enhanced my healing. In fact, the surgeon said, oh, you're healing so fast. I said, why, thank you. Because I did.
Thank you. And for those of you who you don't yet know Joyce, Joyce has been working with me what year did we start working together, Joyce?
I think in 91, maybe 90 or 91.
Yeah.
I had done three clinics with your sister for 3 years and wasn't going to clinic with you for two more because I wanted to know everything. And you called and offered me a position, and I thought it was a joke. I thought it was one of my girlfriends teasing me. and I said, why, thank you so much. And then you went on to explain, and I almost fainted. So it was wonderful.
So Joyce was in our office and a mainstay in our office in Santa Fe for many years. And we worked on many clinics together over the years.
Yes. Yes.
Joyce has worked on many, many endurance rides with endurance horses and international events, and is just it's so wonderful to have you here in this T-Touch for Human course after
all
these
years. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here, Linda.
So I would like to know if who would like to share something from either the feeling that you got from this guided journey we went on, or something that has you've been able to do with Detouch during this week, since the last time, or a question that you have.
Belinda,
while you're talking about cataract surgery, did you want any more input on that or move on?
No, and we're not moving on. It's up to you.
So I'd be happy to share my experience because I think it's different than many have had. Because I've done something that I know some of my colleagues regard as not to do, but for me it's been incredibly helpful, which is always had my eyes adjusted, first with contacts and then with this for one close-up and one distant. And I found, because some people say they can't get used to that, but I've found that very, very, very helpful. Because what that has let me do, both before the cataract surgery and since, is have a sort of basic level of seeing without glasses for both close-up and distance. And that continued through the cataract surgery. So I was really afraid of that. I did it about 2008 or 9 or something like that, or 10, I mean, quite a while ago now. And I don't know why I was so afraid, but I was. But I think it's because I so value seeing. But it was completely fine. And the only problem that I think other people have too is having more of what are called floaters, little black things. So sometimes you don't know, is there like a fly buzzing around or is it in your eye? You know, it's like, is it in the world or is it in here? But the doctor kept the same one eye better for close-up and one eye better for distance. The right eye my whole life has been better for close-up. I mean, just naturally, the left eye was, quote, worse. And the right eye was worse for distance, but fine for close-up. So we just kept it that way with contact lenses for a long time, and then I couldn't wear them anymore because my eyes got too dry. And then with the cataract surgery, we kept the same pattern, and it's worked really well. But I have had to get glasses, and I have had been able to get glasses that work just fine. So for close-up, for reading, I don't need any glasses at all because of the close-up eye. For distance, mostly I don't, but if I'm driving at night or want to see really clearly, then I use the distance glasses. But the place where I need them the most is computer distance when it's a ways from me, because neither eye is adjusted for that. And what I do think changes, and I don't know if you found a difference because of T-Touch, I think I sense the difference in the flexibility of the eye to adapt easily to changes. So it seems like it's more fixed at a certain setting than it was before the surgery and before aging. So I don't know if it's surgery or aging or what, but I can see well. And the really good news too is that the eyes have not been getting worse at all for the last maybe 3 years. They've been stable.
That's beautiful. And you had it done quite a while ago.
Yes.
I tried for a while the contacts close and far, and I just couldn't adjust to it. I think because I was out in the dust and dirt with horses.
Dust is not good with contacts at all.
It didn't work. So thank you for your these
sure.
experiences.
I just hope it's helpful to someone.
I'm sure that it is. And that I would, if I were, well, I've considered the possibility of that near and far, but probably we'll just do have it adjusted for the close-up and then put the glasses for the distance. What's really interesting about the floaters, I'm wondering if anyone else has them, because I've never had them. And because my eye is injected once a month now to try to get rid of the blood behind the eye, it's a really simple thing. You don't even feel it. But I see these, it's like these floaters, I've never had them, and these little tiny, beautiful little circles. And I see it like the universe. So it's just there, and it doesn't bother me at all. And sometimes, and I wonder if anybody else has had this experience, if I just look at the wall during the day, sometimes suddenly it's happening right now. As soon as I look, these beautiful geometric patterns, it's a six-sided pattern, and they're with orange dots outlining it, and it's just beautiful. So when I sit, it's like a psych, I don't know what a psychedelic experience is like, but I can imagine it be like this, because it's like the world is wonderful. So instead of the floaters bothering me, I just thought, because I have like maybe 10 of them, and they just go shoo, like off on the side, and oh, how interesting. That's my story. From carrying on, if anyone else has any more about this to share.
Linda, I'll add one just because you guys are talking about one close, one distant.
Becky, say your name like before. You start.
I'm Becky Davis. When I had cataract surgery done, it was as a result of having had a macular hole in my eye, about 70% of those end up needing cataract surgery. And when he did it, I said I did not want one close, one distant. But in fact, my doctor is a very ancient man and believes that doctors know best. And so I then went to one of his younger people who said, it's sort of like in Star Wars with the Force. It's like, you will learn to see this way. But one of the things that was very helpful was that what I realized was across a year, I began to be able to see better and better. Sorry, I may have to stop this for a second. Over time, your brain will figure it out. And what he said to me was, over time, your brain takes the best picture combined out of both eyes and allows you to see that. So I now see better with both eyes than I do with either one individually. So, and I was someone like you, Linda, who I could not do the one-on-one. It gave me headaches all the time, and that's why I didn't want to do it. So our brain, and for me, the most important piece of all of that was just that our brain is this amazing creature that creates new patterns where we need new patterns.
And so did you go with the two different ones? I didn't, or not?
My doctor did, against my wishes. And that's what I was struggling with. But over time, I've come to appreciate it. I was concerned that I would have headaches and my eyes definitely struggled with it. But every once in a while today, if it's arguing with itself, I'll cover one eye and say, okay, look, that's what you see. Okay, look, that's what you see. Now work it out.
And you do. The brilliance of the body. Thank you so much.
Linda, it's Judy. Lauren has her hand raised.
Thank you, Judy. Yep. Yes, and sorry, I didn't. Thank you, Judy. If that's a really good thing, please, is to go down and look further down. You'll see reactions. And if you just raise your hand, we'll watch for you then, and then we'll know, because we have a lot of people on here. So Lauren.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't want to talk with you about the cataracts.
No, it's all the possible things I've said before, whatever you want.
It's been a really interesting week for me about T-Touch, because I mentioned to the osteopath last week, I said, exactly what are you doing? And because you're so effective, he's literally moving bones and he's literally moving me from sympathetic to parasympathetic. And he said, I'm going back. He said, the moment that you're formed, for 8 weeks, your body is an embryo and it's creating exactly who you will be the rest of your life. And so that this is his story. And according to him, the osteopathic story. So at 8 weeks, you become a fetus and you are formed. Everything that you will be, that you will struggle with, is formed. So he said, I'm working every time I work with you to go back to that moment, to move you out of all the trauma that you've been through, to go back to that moment. And I sat there as he's talking here in this line, I'm running another line, trying to think, T-Touch, we're working with the cells to make cellular changes. And I'm trying to work those two thoughts together. And I'm still struggling with that. And at the same time, I said to him, when I work on the dogs, I get more benefit than when I work on myself. And so like Sunday morning, I work on each dog for an hour. And then during the week, maybe 20 minutes per dog in the morning, and then 20 minutes for myself. Only the time on myself has diminished, and I put more into the dogs. And so I mentioned this to a friend when I left him, and she said, perhaps it's because when you're working with the dogs, you're releasing everything and you're just focused on them, and you're releasing your own pain and your own struggles. And so you're open to receiving so much. So that was kind of fascinating. And then the third aspect of it, I've just forgotten. I've been running these kind of three tracks together all week, wondering how does T-Touch blend in with, and it's fascinating because you quote Bruce Lipton all the time. He quotes Bruce Lipton. I read Bruce's book when it first came out, and I, you know, go to his monthly talks, and I adore him. And of anyone on the whole planet, he made the most change for me when he said, cells make a choice every second of every day to either live in fear or live in joy or live in peace. And I didn't until that moment, you know, 10, 15 years ago, know that I had a choice, that I didn't have to live in misery. So it was very impactful. And the fact that you're both quoting him kind of in different lines is really kind of fascinating, because he talks about you make a choice. You know, you make a choice how you will live, how you will live with your pain. And that was it. The other third of it was that he said to me, I magnify my pain because I get afraid. The pain gets so severe that I get very frightened. And I said, I didn't know I was living in fear. Here I've been, you know, feeling so sad for all these people that are walking around the last year and a half being fearful, not knowing that I had my own bundle of fear that I'm addressing. And he's right. When the pain strikes, I probably do make it worse because I get really frightened because I know how bad it can get. So I'm trying to weave all these three things together, and they're pretty big and they're pretty heavy. And they're kind of, because I love T-Touch so much, it's all kind of going around T-Touch. You know, how does T-Touch affect and handle all of this? So I don't know what to make of it, but I'm just kind of throwing it out there because this is such a dynamic group of thinkers.
Lauren, thank you so much. And that is, we are with such a dynamic group of experienced people here, which is really phenomenal. With the background that so many of you have with the Feldenkrais work and the reading. The thing that's really interesting, and Lauren, can you just show me on yourself? Because I've been thinking about you quite a lot during the week. And I noticed before when you were you're doing the T-Touch, that you were making this motion. Can you show me, and I'd like everybody to do this actually together, so we're all doing this together. Just catch the tissue. And the first time when when I switched from the Feldenkrais work to T-Touch was with a horse standing in front of me who couldn't be touched without her being threatening to bite. She didn't bite. She simply pinned her ears and threatened and would try to move and kick because she was afraid. But they saw it as aggression. And when I had put my hand, this horse belonged to a really good veterinarian who was the team vet for the American event team. And they couldn't diagnose her because in those days, in 83, there was only x-raying from the knees and hocks down. There was none of the phenomenal veterinary work that's available now. So I had known Dr. Danny Marks and Dr. McKay Smith for many years and worked with them and worked on horses with the work that I do. And so they asked me if I would work on this horse. So when I put my hands on her, I just put my hands on her quietly just to give her a sense of herself. I don't know what I was doing. That was one of those, sometimes I do things that before I started working with you all with T-Touch for You, I never thought about it, you know, like, what am I really doing? But I just put my hands there and the horse got very quietly. And the wife of the vet said, okay, Linda, like, what are you doing? What is your secret? Are you using energy or what? And I said intuitively, just go up and put your hand on the shoulder and push. I said the word push the skin in a circle. And we eventually changed that word push to move because I didn't like the idea of pushing. But I think pushing might keep us from moving over the skin because this is what at least 50% of the people who read the book simply, oh yeah, I make a circle on the skin, but you actually push or move, but the skin gently in 5 arcs, little quarter circle, quarter circle, quarter circle, quarter circle, quarter circle. And maybe we'll come to it today. I finally, after all these years, realized, wait a minute, what's that last up for? Because it's really interesting in the Donna Eden concept. Finally, I know what that last up is about. So could you, all of you, just hold your hand up and just push gently, very lightly, the skin around the face of the clock. Let's do it on the hand. And move that 1 1/4 circles. And is there any of you, I'm going to go back to the gallery view, who, and how is that actually, Lauren, for you?
It's fine. I'm really heavy-handed on myself.
Okay, so let's...
More so than on the dogs.
But hold on. What would happen if you take the side of your hand, curl your little finger?
Right.
Because all of you try this. When you just use the side of the hand that we call a banana slug, but it's just a hard surface unless I curl the fingers, and that, feel it. It softens that area between the little finger and the top of the hand. That's the banana slug. Now, just as gently as you can, roll around that, Lauren. And support the weight of your own hand. This is something I've been forgetting to say because it's essential when you work on your animals. You don't rest your hand on your own body or on your dog. And this has to do with the degree of success that you have. So roll. Just roll this. How does that feel, Lauren, when you do that?
It feels fine. For me, it depends on what hurts at any given moment, what I can use. The thing that I find so interesting is, like, the skin on my forearms is, the arms are so hard that it requires different pressure than it does places where I'm softer. And I think that's so interesting because I don't feel much of anything on the forearms because they're rock hard, but the parts that are softer, I like the touch better. It feels better.
Okay. So as soon as you don't like something, you don't do it. That's when they say, wait a minute. that's how the abalone came into play. I just melt my hand on that hard part and very gently move it, so gently that you barely feel the movement.
Oh, that feels wonderful. Oh, that's yummy. Oh, yeah, that's yummy. Oh, thank you.
Cool. And the thing is, all of these animals came into being because of just that. Somebody said, oh, it hurts me. If it hurts, and it's not a good hurt, because there are, on me, there are good hurts on my joints. There's a good hurt. And that's when I go, oh, like, yes, because I have title named osteoarthritis. I never knew I had it because I can disappear like in seconds any pain. So I didn't get that I had it. So, but when it hurts, say, wait a minute, what happened? And the tiniest movement, Lauren, so that you think it's doing nothing, but it's the tiniest circle in the border, and then a very, very gentle upward lift toward the elbow in this case. You know, if the arm's that's down, how does that feel?
That's really lovely. Last week, after you talked with us about pushing hard on our osteoarthritis, and I made a note of it. And so then a couple hours later, I was hurting a lot. And I went, I'd forgotten where it was. And I used your notes. I said, you know, do it hard until your skin, until your body trusts yourself, and then lighten it up. And I was really excited. I thought that would help me, and it didn't. And I was so disappointed. I wanted to ask you about it because the pain just got worse and worse instead of getting any better. And I was like, oh, damn, this didn't work. Finally had to take a pain pill because it got so bad.
So when this happens, and I'm saying this to any of you, you are very welcome to text me. And if, and because we don't have to wait from Tuesday to Tuesday. Just know that. And if you don't get an answer in a text because I didn't see you, do it again. Because I don't get so many texts. I don't give this my number out to most people, but you all have it. And I want to give
where
that to you.
Where would text you?
To me. So I'll give you my number if you want to write this down. Kirsten will kill me for this. But listen, you all, we're here together to find ways to help ourselves, knowing that as we explore this self-care with this simple way of recognizing this miracle we are, we're recognizing, we're sending this hope out to the world. So it's not just us. As you work on yourself, know that there are many other people like you, Lauren, and all of us who have these issues, and we can feel on ourselves, wait a minute, what can I do to feel better? And Lauren, it may mean coming off the body and working with the etheric field off the body, right off the body. It may not even be touching that when it says hurt. See, on me, my body likes it, but I if something hurts more than like one pressure, no, don't do it. You might have to go around to either side. So you begin exploring. It's like a wonderful exploration.
Thank you.
Linda, it's Sage. I have two quick things here. If I can jump in, two things. I'm happy to give out my phone number too, if that would be helpful, so that you have another resource to field questions. And if not, that's fine. But I just wanted to offer that if that's helpful. And then Lauren, when you were talking about your forearms, feeling the tension in your forearms, I started playing with something new that I've never done before. And I took my forearm, I mean, we're so used to using our hands on the body part, but I took my forearm and I used my forearm against the other forearm, and it feels fantastic to do the circular touch with, because both arms are getting the benefit, and you can switch.
And try
so
it.
Anyway, it was just a different way of accessing the forearms, and it feels really great when you do a few touches and then stop. both of my arms were getting the benefit.
Do it on your leg now, Sage.
Okay, hang on. Feels like my leg. You mean my leg on my leg?
No, your arm on your leg.
Feels right.
Really good.
Right, and how massage therapists will use their arm as a, you know, as a resource. But we're, like I said, we're so used to using the hand. But what if we didn't have a hand to use and we needed to use a different body part to work with? And
you can even, if you're working with horses, you can even use your chest on your horse like that, which we've done with children and adults who couldn't use their arms. Or you can use your forehead on your dog. And Sage, thank you very much. And I just want you all to understand, Sage and I have worked together for many, many years. And she just did this wonderful work with children in the past in the school system for special needs in Minnesota, and now with juveniles in jail that she's doing. But one of the things I'd like to have you try when you say, I'm going to move the skin on my left arm with my right. So I'm going to do a circle and a quarter, and then I'm going to do a gentle lift up toward the elbow. And I'm going to involve my smile, one of the nine elements, and my breath. And just feel it. See, Lauren, how this is. Circle and a quarter and a lift. Gentle lift up toward the arm and a hold. Breathe and feel it in your lower back. Can you feel that release all the way in your back? And move your body a little bit as you do this. Just like. And smile at yourselves.
Is that the Feldenkrais aspect being incorporated? Because I'm getting really interested in Feldenkrais.
Well, do it and it'll change your life. No, I wouldn't say that's not my take on the Feldenkrais. That's the following the self that I was blessed to do. But get a Feldenkrais, do some Feldenkrais, and you can do it online. And it will, I couldn't move like this if I hadn't done my Feldenkrais work. There's no way.
They're having a class this week here called Contrast, which sounds really good.
Okay. Now, wait a second. How's your breathing there? What were you doing with your breathing right there?
Nothing good.
No, well, wait a minute. You were doing what you know, right? So let's everybody like breathe in. I like breathe in through my nose and then out through pursed lips as I lift. Then I hold at the top of the lift and then breathe in again and then breathe out. And as I'm just releasing that out, I go back to where I started. This lift, this is called a circle with a snail. It's called a coiled python. After, I'm going to do it with the other arm. This is a brilliant idea, Sage. I've never thought about it with the arms. And you can do it on your leg really easily. As you said, Lauren, reach down with your arm on your leg. And it's really great. I've done it with people doing it with their chest on their horse, which is really beautiful. Thank you so much. And Lauren, will you promise me when you run into a problem, if you feel like it, that you will call me?
If I have a number.
808-989-3080. And you have to promise me if I don't answer you, you have to do it again. Because I get a lot of them and I sometimes miss them.
Okay, you had asked me to send you a movie of the dogs through that walks up or whatever it is, and you have to have a phone number to do it, so I couldn't do it.
WhatsApp, right. Oh, of course. Through WhatsApp, yes. You can also send it, I think, with email with WhatsApp, can't you? I'm not sure. Maybe someone else knows that. I do it all the time, but I don't know.
It only showed a telephone.
Thank you. So I'm going to open this now to feedback. Another feedback, please. And it doesn't have to be about this. Anything, what we thought, something you've done this year, this week with the T-Touch, or in the past, a question you have, something you got from the waterfall, this feeling of bringing the cells, the water into your cells. Morning, Pam. Afternoon, Pam. Hi, and Janet. Hi. Nice to see you. Maggie, any thoughts? I just really have appreciated your feedback.
I confess I've had one of those quite frantic weeks. I was very glad to be here, but I realized how little time I'd had to do anything in the intervening 7 days, unfortunately. It's going to be calmer before, I think we've got a meeting on Saturday, haven't we? And then next Tuesday, I hope to be not quite so frantic, but I'm drawn to experimenting with internalizing the movement. So what I've been playing with is finding internal circle and the quarters around my spine. So it's not quite so clear which direction the clock is. That's the only thing. So I experiment with both. But picturing sort of a different part of my vertebrae and then inside the movement of the circle and the quarter with the breath. And then what I often find is I then get stuck in a particular place in my spine and I just stay there for a while. I'm not traveling all the way through it. I've got a very, I've got a place in my spine where the transmission isn't very clear. And I often find that if I spend a little time there, that's very rewarding in terms of my sensation. But yes, I'm experimenting, but I feel very unknowledgeable. I think compared to most people here, I've not done very much yet. I don't know all the touches yet, and I don't have an animal to practice on, so I can only practice on me. So I'm getting there, but it's slow.
And Maggie, just so you know, in the beginning, it doesn't matter about the animal aims. You just experiment with using a different part of your hand, and what that we call that, we came to those names after, you know, some time. But and also the direction doesn't matter unless you're interested and you put your attention there. Now, it's like when you're working internally, are you imagining the movement of the circle and the quarter?
Yes. And then I'm not quite sure how to end it. Yeah. So what I'm doing at the moment is I'm imagining the circle and the quarter, and then I'm having a whole breath in between each one.
Beautiful.
And then when I start again, I sometimes start from where I left off. So I'll do a circle and a quarter. I'll come to there. I'll have a whole breath, and then I'll start there, do a quarter, and then another out breath. So I'm kind of moving around.
Interesting.
And I have a bit of a tendency to, I've done a little bit of chi work. I've got more experience with that than anything else. And I used to just do a sway back and forth for yes and no. And then after a while, it started oscillating. And I didn't know what it meant at first. And then it turned out it was still meant yes and no, but in a slightly different way. But if I stand and quiet myself, I get the infinity. I get the figure of eight. It just happens.
Interesting.
I can allow that in sitting as well, but not at the moment because of my feet are still healing. So I'm not sitting as freely as I used to sit. Yeah. But yeah, so I find that I go anti-clockwise naturally. And I think it's interesting when I started with a heart hug, I like to go to three. Yeah. I'm practicing going to 9, and I'm finding it more and more and more comfortable and natural to do so.
Now, it's interesting that whichever direction you go, it's just follow that. And as you're doing, experimenting, how is it to go in the other direction? Now, in 1981, I did a 7-week course at our ranch in Nacimiento, Ranch and Research Center. And we had a chiropractor with us. And he said that in his practice, that when he turns the needles clockwise, it's to tonify or strengthen, and counterclockwise is to release.
And oh, interesting.
That's interesting. Now, what's particularly interesting, and I wonder what Valentina you think of this, is when one of our practitioners, who's a veterinarian in Germany, went to China for a month to study acupuncture, she said they paid no attention to the direction at all.
Uh-huh.
So now, does it depend upon what we believe?
I really think it does. I've been doing a meditation class with people who are very anti-clockwise. They're absolutely certain that everything should be clockwise. I don't believe in evil, you know, Linda. I think it's all good. But I think your belief system engages, and that talks to the cells more clearly. That's what I think. So I like it when things are not too fixed, because I think when they become fixed, and they can become, then the opposite can become negative. And if you don't fix something too tightly, then you're not in danger of creating an unnecessary negative.
Or stopping the learning.
Or stop, exactly. You know, you don't get it. Yeah, yeah. You don't have all these bad anti-clockwise people. We don't like them. You know, you're so good at not doing that. It's lovely.
Thank you. So one of the things that I learned this week, and you, those of you who know me for a long time, a lot of books are recommended to me in terms of wisdom. And I found one last week, and I want to share it with you. And I want to share, some of you knew Lindsay Dankins-Eden. She crossed the Rainbow Bridge a week ago Sunday. Like, she was out with her horses. Her son went to find her because she didn't come in for dinner, and she was not breathing. She was gone. And they took her to the hospital. I mean, you know, of course. And they hooked her up again. I don't know why. She hadn't been breathing for several hours. And they attempted to call a neurologist in another city who would do something with her. And her sons, Sam and Graham, both said, she was going for a quality of life. She would not, because of course she was told that she would never be able to function alone if they were able to revive her. Mm-hmm. I think, or I don't know, maybe to protect themselves, maybe that's something they have to do. But the young men were both holding her hands when they pulled the plug. And the thing has been so beautiful, because she was one of my really dear friends. And she had wanted me to get to know her son, Sam, who's been living with her for the last 3 years. And so I called him and started just talking with him, and wanted to know what makes him tick. Because the first thing, one of the things he said, well, my mother left, Lindsay left at the top of her game. Mm-hmm. And then we started looking at it from this point with her boots on. That's how I would like to go, but not at a clinic. I want to do it where I'm not going to shock anyone. It's one possibility. The other way is a nice quiet way out and saying goodbye consciously. So anyway, I'm telling you this because I started asking Sam, what makes him tick? Why did Lindsay really want me to get to know him? And one of the first things he shared with me was a book he's one of these people, which I love talking with him, because he'll read like 7 books at one time. So I said, are you a person that has to focus on one, or do you read many books? I read about 7 at a time. That's my kind of person I want to spend time with. and on the phone. And so so a book that he turned me onto, and I listened to the whole thing in one sitting, because it brings together all the things that many of us already know. And it's a book by Neville Goddard, and it's called Something of Awareness, The Power of Awareness. The basic concept has to do exactly with what we're doing here. And that is the idea that there is only one thing in this world that we can control. And that's our imagination. Mm-hmm. And it's in that, I mean, when I thought of all the things to do, I do, and all the things that I've studied and all the books I've read, they all lead in this direction. I mean, the work of, if you don't know Greg Braden, treat yourself, because he and Bruce Lipton are just amazing visionaries. I know there are many others. They're the ones, two of them, that have really affected me. Mm-hmm. And this idea that we have a choice to go to the place of fear or say, wait a minute, I can breathe, I can pause, and that pause, Maggie, that you talked about, between imagining the circle and then a pause, and consciously, like, if we breathe in, and we realize when we breathe in through our nose that we're activating the nitric oxide, the oxygen. And what I do when I choose, there are many choices, many ways of breathing. And I've practiced a lot over the years walking and doing these. And like, and then I breathe out, like, I breathe in through my nose. Let's just try it. And in through my nose gently, and then I hold it. And I can't help smiling when I do it, which is really interesting. And then I slowly breathe out through pursed lips. And what I've done over the years, at some point many years ago, I Googled alveoli. And they described it as your little lung balloons. So like I fill my millions of lung balloons. And then I breathe out and I imagine flattening them. And like, breathe in and flatten them. Now, what is coming to me, and some of you might have another idea, I'm thinking of a bird in the forest, and there's some bird that makes these really interesting sounds, like with their breath. And it's jumping around and has beautiful plumage. I don't know what this is. It's really, they're doing a dance, like. And so when I bring my imagination and I put myself in the forest and I feel nature, something else happens. So Maggie, that pause, and it's interesting because it's always a question of me too. When I run, like when I'm working on a dog or a horse, I run these lines parallel to the top line because they follow the meridian. I don't know that. I haven't studied that part because I wanted to see what just came to me, but it's so fascinating that people say, interesting. Oh, how come? So Linda, where did you learn acupuncture? This is from a veterinarian like many, many years ago. Well, I didn't study acupuncture. Well, how come you're following the meridians? I'm following my fingers. Yeah. And I went home with her for 3 days and she wanted to know all about T-touch. And that's where I learned about the ear touch from her husband, who was also a vet. And around the base of the ear is the triple heater meridian. And when we do work on the animals, the dogs, the horses, the kitties, all the animals' ears, then we are affecting the entire body. But around the base of the ear is the triple heater meridian that affects the digestion and the respiratory system, also the reproductive system. And I better listen to that and start doing the base of my ears for my bladder infection. Interesting. Strengthen my bladder. So thank you for, and that pause is one of the nine elements. And yes. Laura, this feedback, the ninth element, the feedback is listen to your body, what feels good. If it doesn't feel good, try a different pressure, come off the body, or use a different part of your hand, or go to a different place around it. Honor the intelligence of our bodies. And when we start doing that, it's like, finally, I mean, after all these years, I finally got this, I don't know why, I mean, this, I printed it out. And I read it to you before, but I keep reading it over and over. This is one of the daily messages from Abraham and Esther Hicks. And every cell in your body has a direct relationship with creative life force. That's what we're doing. That's what I believe. When this 1¼ spiral circle is like turning the key to recognize, to activate that amazing potential of our body to be able to heal itself. Bruce Lipton talks about this all the time. Mm-hmm. It's so important when we, and this is the way of actually connecting into it through that golden spiral circle. Mm-hmm. Now, each cell is independently responding. When you feel joy, all the circuits are open and the life force or the God force can be fully received. When you feel guilt or blame or fear or anger, the circuits are hindered and the life force cannot flow as effectively. And when the word flow is used, think about Bruce Lipton's beautiful description of the communication between the cells in his book, Spontaneous Evolution, in the chapter on the development of the cell. When our cells, when we feel pain, I believe the cells are not able to communicate. The flow is missing. And when you feel guilt or when you feel fear or blame, instead of blaming yourself, you can think, oh, that's interesting. That's just human. I have an opportunity to release that and change it. And know, huh, when I do, through this amazing self, we're all connected. I'm putting that out to the world. And I make a difference just by what I choose in my own life to everyone. So, well, that's enough, actually. That's the primary thing. That's enough to keep us with.
And Linda, do you want to take a short little break?
That's just what I'm about to say. Thank you. Yeah. It's 7 after, and we're going to take a 10-minute break. So we're going to go from 10 after the hour to 20 after the hour. So at 20 after the hour, I'm going to stop this recording. So when you want to go back and look at any part of it, you might want to do the first guided journey with our waterfall. Then you can do it in individual sessions. So I'm going to stop the recording.